know, this is the first episode that I'm like having food in the episode. I normally don't. Or I had a snack. There was one episode, I think the dating episode, that I had a snack and I had some tea. I think. Anyway, we got food today. And people are going to say this is probably not really food, but it's breakfast food. Like, what do you want from me? I have a banana. I have some chocolate hazelnut oatmeal. And I got a cup of tea. Because, you know, your girl needs fiber. I'm getting old. I said this before, but, like, I don't think I mentioned how much I need to, like, change my my food intake, because normally I never ate breakfast. I was always a like fast in the morning type of girl, eat something around 1, 12. But when I did eat, like, I mostly would have like protein, or like I would fill up on those because I was more focused on being full so I could eat less. I'm telling you my personal problems now. Anyway, I'm getting old. I need to have more fiber in my diet. And so now I've like switched to like having a fibrous, is that the word? Yes. Fibrous breakfast, so that I can start the day right. And then throughout the day, I just like, whatever. Anyway, hey y'all, the episode is not about Shariah's, food, diet, or whatever. It's actually about my cooking. We're talking about cooking today, which I'm really happy we, like, I never thought about making an episode about cooking. I don't know why, because I'm constantly cooking. I'm constantly whipping up something that I've never cooked before, and I just never talked about my journey into how I got here and how I just became this, like, culinary genius. Okay, so we're gonna talk about that today, and I don't know, where do I start? I want to start in my teens, and the reason why I'm starting in my teens is because a lot of things are coming to my mind now that I said teens. We grew up poor, okay? So my niece and I, who you guys might know, I have a niece who's 4 years younger than me, and my sister is 15 years older than me. So you guys can see that dynamic. My niece is more like my little sister. And so she spent a lot of time in my house when we were growing up. So when I was like a teenager and she was like preteen, we grew up poor, as I mentioned. And we did not have a lot of variety of food, right? So it'd be the same thing. My mom would always be like, chicken is cheap. That was always her thing. I don't know if other black moms say this or if it's a black saying, but my mom would always be like, chicken is cheap. Anytime we complain about having too much chicken. And she'd be like, that's gonna be your protein. Like, it's what we can afford. And like, we never went hungry, thank God. We never had a night where we didn't have anything to eat. We were fed, all right? That's the one thing I can say, we were fed. So shout out to my parents for that, with not having very much and still making a way for us to always have at least something to eat on. But she would always say, chicken is cheap. And so we'd be like, damn, like, you making chicken again? But she would mix it up, though. I'm not gonna lie. My mom, she would make, like, a barbecue baked chicken, which we loved. And she would make, like, Spanish rice on the side, some kind of veggies, like, your standard meal. Then she would make these, like, crunchy. Oh, gosh. And now I'm saying these, a lot of memories are coming to mind about, like, food and cooking in my house growing up. She would make these crispy chicken strips for us. And she'd just make a huge batch of them. And they were so good. They were so tasty. And one night, when she made them, we were having a bunch, because they're like snack size. They're like literally probably the size of your finger, crispy little chicken strips. and she made a huge batch and she was putting them away, and she had not put them all away. And so there were still some, like, she would freeze some of them, and then the rest of them she would kind of leave out so we could snack on them and stuff. It was late at night. One night, my niece and I used to share a room. Though, I guess those little chicken tenders, chicken fingers were so good. My niece went to sneak some. I'm telling her business now. She went to sneak some in the middle of the night. And she... I remember her coming back to the room and I'm like, where did you go? And she's like, oh, I just went out. I'm like, our house is not that big. So where did you go? She's like, oh, I just went to the bathroom. I'm like, all right. Then, because the chicken was crispy. They were like thin, crispy chicken strips. And so you could hear her crunching. And I'm like, what are you eating? And she's like, oh, I'm not eating anything. I'm like, all right, now I know you're lying. So I let her be. And I thought it was going to go away. I thought she just, like, went to go, like, take a piece of something. Why I decided to put the light on her, like, my phone light. She has mad chicken strips in her hand. Because they were just so good. So, that was another chicken story. But my culinary, I don't even know if I want to say culinary. Culinary is probably the more professional word. I'm just a home cook, but my cooking really came into play when my mom would make like regular baked chicken, or she would make a chicken dish that we weren't, because she, I don't know, they would hit but they weren't always hit, or she would make something that we didn't particularly like, and I would remix it. So I became the remixer. I don't know if my mom ever knew this, but one time, and this is when my niece was like, nah, you really did that. My mom made just like a roasted chicken. And it didn't really, the chicken was like kind of, you know, with roasted chicken, how the breast pieces, you can give a piece to dad. He don't really want that shit. He want dark meat. But the breast is really tough. And so she was planning to make a soup out of the breast, because after a while, the breast will dry out. So it's better to honestly just put it in a broth and put it with some stuff and jazz it up, basically. But one night, I was like, I want to make something. And we had minimal ingredients in our fridge. We had some jerk seasoning. We had like mayo, like condiments and stuff, sweet chili sauce, like all those little things. But we had dinner rolls as well. And we always had cheese, because you could always make a sandwich up in my house. Like, you hungry and it's not dinner time, get up on my face and go make a sandwich. So we always had those things. And one night I was like, I want to make something. And I made some jerk chicken sliders. And I don't even remember how old I was. I was definitely still in high school. And I remember my niece was like, yo, let me try this. I let her try it. She's like, nah, this is great. I love this. She was obsessed. She always wanted me to make them. And they became like one of my staple things. I actually haven't even made them in a very long time. And as I'm like, I'll get into more detail later, but I want to compile just like a little book, maybe. Nothing crazy, nothing to even sell, really. But I would like to put all my things together so that I just have something. And also so I just have something to pass down to my children or my nieces and nephews, because we don't have that in my family, funny enough. For all the things that I know how to make very well, I think the only recipe I really have from my mom, which I don't even make it the same way she do, because she's doing the most, is beef stew. That is the one dish that I watched my mom make as we were growing up, and I've mastered it, and I've tweaked it also to be my own. So I kind of want this little bit of a book to put together just for my family, so that they know how to make things. Also, it's because I think cooking is really essential. Cooking is not a gender thing, first of all. I think that men and women should know how to cook. And listen, that should be a side note. I think knowing how to cook should be a requirement for your partners. Y'all, don't fight me now. Don't fight me now. Especially women, because... Actually, let me not even say especially women, because I don't know what y'all are doing nowadays. My mom... That's a whole nother topic. I'm about to get into the fact that some of y'all got some young-ass moms, and y'all moms be 36. Y'all moms be 36, and then y'all don't really know how to cook. My mom is the grandmother. My mom is the great-grandmother, period. And I'm almost 30. But in general, everybody should know how to cook. I think it's an essential thing that you, if you are looking for a partner, a lifelong partner, they need to know how to cook. And they need to know how to clean to a certain extent. Again, this is a tangent. I'm going off a little bit. But I think everyone really needs to know how to cook. Basic things. Rice. Know how to make an omelet. You should know how to make some kind of meat. I know for us, I'm saying us like Black people, we like to cook our meat until it's like done. Like 8 times done. Keep doing that. That's the easiest way to know that your meat is going to be done. And I'm not saying to burn it. I'm just saying it's okay to overcook it a little bit, in my opinion. I'd rather have something that's a little overcooked than it's undercooked and I'm serving it to people and they're getting sick. Moving on. So, yeah. The jerk chicken one was one of my really good ones. And then I started making these really good fried rices. Oh, the fried rice. I don't even make fried rice like I used to. And it's because I don't really eat rice like I used to. But the fried rice that I used to make all kinds of fried rice. Again, growing up poor, you really learn to just use the resources you have. And so I would make a breakfast fried rice. There are times where I would have fried rice all the time. I would make a breakfast fried rice with bacon and egg and scallions and like any kind of like hot sauce or extra pepper to like flare it up a little bit. And then I would have a lunch fried rice with whatever veggies that were still left over from the day before. And then whatever kind of protein was left over from the day before. And then most times my mom cooked. My mom was good for cooking every day for dinner. Sometimes something new every day. Because, I don't know, she's just that type of girl. That's how she grew up. So, yeah, but fried rice also became something really good that everyone was looking forward to. And I loved that because now I started to feel like I was part of our family's culinary, like, home-cooked story. And I was also contributing, and people liked the things that I made. And, like, my dad, I'd make my dad, like, hamburgers. My stepdad, obviously. I was not cooking at 7. But I would make my stepdad, like, burgers and stuff, or, like just little things. And I just felt very proud. And then I got to a moment where, I guess, like, later high school. But that's, I think... It makes sense because later high school is when you're really focusing on academics more. You're very trying to make your way into college if that's where you want to go next. And that's where I wanted to go. And I did. So later into high school and then into college, I didn't really cook as often. I would make things once in a while, and then I lived off campus, so I had to cook every once in a while. But I think because of my schedule, as many of you may know, I worked 3 jobs, and I was a full-time student in college. So, and still trying to make room for my social life. So in doing all of that, I didn't really have enough time to cook. And I also didn't like the dining hall food, which sucked. So I end up spending most of my freshman and sophomore year while I'm on campus. Just, I mostly eat breakfast at this time, right? So I'm eating breakfast because it's the thing that tastes the most good for me. And then when I would go to the dining hall with my friends, like in the middle of the day, I'd be eating cucumbers. Deadass. I'd be eating cucumbers. I'd be eating carrots. And I think it's just because I didn't like the way the food was. So later on, I was like, okay, once I get off campus, I'm going to start cooking again. I ended up getting off campus my junior year. Was it junior year? No, actually, it was my senior year. Yeah, my senior year of college, I ended up going off campus. And that's when I start cooking way more. But it's still like calm little ramen meals with some extra add-ins or some fried rice again or some stir fry again. I'm not cooking these really extravagant, well thought out and long meals. It's everything that can be done very quickly. Once I get out of college and I'm like newly into the world, I don't cook again. I took a long break, probably like 2 year. I take a 2 year break from cooking for real. Like, I was working at Juice Press, and Juice Press is a fully vegan and semi-raw. They have like vegan soups as well, but it's fully vegan, semi-raw, natural foods. I was working there, and one of the perks was that I could have free food, so I mostly ate that. I ate vegan for a while. There's a short clip on my Instagram where I'm talking about how I went vegan and how my skin looked, how I felt and stuff. It didn't last long because I like meat. I want some lamb, I want some steak, I want some chicken, sorry. But in that time where I needed to save money, first of all, thank God for that, because it wasn't a really, it was a moment where I needed to save money, and I was able to have all of these like really beautiful options to eat. So I'm very grateful for that. But in that time, I didn't spend a lot of time cooking for myself. And it wasn't until I got to my second year living in Connecticut that I got back in my bag again. And ever since then, it's been great. Like, I've been more adventurous with cooking and trying things. I've been more open to different cuisines. And it all started when I was thinking about this rice that my godmother used to make, arroz con gandules. Thinking about it heavy one night. And I was like, you know what? You're thinking about it, go make it. So the next morning, I got up, I went to the store, I got all the ingredients, the rice, the gandules, the sofrito, all of it, got some plantain on the side, avocado, all the things. I wanted the rice and the fixing. So like, I wanted to make everything. And I just did it. I didn't even really like, I looked to see some people make it because I just wanted to make sure I was doing the steps right. I left out the salchichas. I know some people like that, but I left it out. I ain't put no salchichas in my rice. But now I'm thinking about the rice and I kind of want to make it again. Ooh, I might make it again. I might make it again soon. I made it that time with all the fixings and it came out beautiful. The rice was plump and fluffy. Everything, the plantain that I made, I bought it extra ripe. So when I fried it up, it was sweet. It was, it was beautiful. My friend at the time, I showed her and I was like, yo, come get some. Yo, okay, this just brought back a crazy memory. So yeah. My friend, I was telling her, like, yo, I made a giant pot of rice. Because I also didn't know how to make small batches. I still don't. If I make something, I make something. And I'm just going to put it away or I'm going to offer it to people. I made this big-ass pot of rice. I hit her up. I'm like, yo, I just made some beautiful rice. You got to come get some. And she tried it and she was like, nah, this is hitting. The realization I just had that I just gasped about, because that was the first mini introduction that Nye and I had. Because she saw the video that I sent my friend of the rice. And she's like, yo, I need parts. Side note of our love story. But yeah, I was just like, yo, you got this. And cooking is mostly about, I don't want to say that before I started seeing plates by Ace, but it's mostly about the confidence that you have in your ability to put things together. I think I really do think that anybody can cook, and I think if you say that you can't cook, it's just because you're not trying. If you can read, you can cook. I'll be honest. Now, there's a certain level of love and pizzazz, maybe, that you can put into your cooking, but I think at a basic level, everybody can cook. I'm standing on that. So, after I make the rice, I cook mad things after. I start tapping into soups. I start making vegetable, like, dips. I start making, what else? What other things that I made? I think at this point, I'm not fully vegan, but I'm still kind of vegan. So I'm still touching mostly veggie dishes that I can do. I don't start slow cooking meat until I want to say until like 2020. That's when I actually start like wanting to make stew, wanting to make things that are going to take me hours and hours and hours to eat. Well, to make, sorry. But mostly I'm stepping into my my vegan bag. And I'm making vegan tacos. I'm making all these vegan options. And then when 2020 comes is when I start making like beef. Or I start making weird things. This is why I make weird shit. I made one time because I wanted to let go of pasta for a little bit. And so I ended up making this spaghetti with cabbage instead. So it was like cabbage was the noodles. I made ground beef. I put cheese in it. I put a little bit of tomato sauce. Not too much to overwhelm it. And it was banging. And that's when I knew. There were multiple times where I knew I was like, dang, I could really cook. I just kept going. I just kept making things. And once I got to Ohio, and at this point I'm in my wife's bag. So I'm like, all right, you're already, let's start really making things, and you have a taste tester, like a permanent taste tester, because my friends, there are a couple things. The friends that I knew would be honest with me were far away, because there were times where I was living in Connecticut, they were in New York, or I was in Westchester, they were in like Queens or something. So it wasn't like they could come over that same night and be like, I'm coming for dinner. Having a partner in the house when you are just trying to get into your culinary bag and you're like, yo, taste this, try this. I made so many dishes when I was in Ohio, and I would just show Nye. I would just send her mad pictures and be like, yeah, I'm making this today. I learned how to do the meats very well. And I'm talking beef, lamb, those kind of meats that are, to me, a little bit hard. I know people are like, oh, no, I don't take that much. That's fine for you to say. But for me, even now, as I've been cooking for over 10 years. Damn, yeah, it's almost 15 years. As I've been cooking this whole time, those meats have always been the hardest for me. Because they start to get tough. So it's like once you put them down, they like shrink into themselves a little bit. At least that's what, I'm probably wording it wrong, but that's what I've noticed. They shrink into themselves and they get tough. Like the tendons and stuff, all that get tough. So it took me a while to understand that you either have to, depending on the cut, you either have to flash cook it, right? Which is why a lot of people are like, oh no, like you're shaking the table while you're cutting your steak because you should have gotten that steak medium rare. For me, I need my shit to be done, okay? But now I've learned to okay, these are the kind of meats that you can cook for maybe 30 minutes, they'll be tender, half hour, they'll be tender. And then these are meats that need to cook a little bit longer. So you might need to give this 2 to 3 hours before you start adding like your veggies or start plating. And I like that. I like how much I've grown. And now I do different cuisine because after I did my Puerto Rican arroz con gandules, I started to tap into curry more. Because I'm Black American. And Black American households, I think we rarely step into other cuisines because we have our own cuisines. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that a lot of other people do the same thing where their palate is fixed on their own people's cuisines. But I've stepped out a lot. So I tapped into the curries. I tapped into the jerk for Caribbean food. I tapped into Asian spices and tastes and adding peanuts to things that I normally wouldn't do. Then marrying into Senegalese culture, I tapped into the Senegalese bag so I can make fataya. I can make what is the other thing called? Yassa, either with fish or with chicken. So now I feel like I've just been tapping. Italian is easy. Sorry, Italians. If you're Italian and you're listening, I'm sorry. Actually, you know what? I'm not. Am I sorry? Let me not say. I want to say Italian food, I'm not going to say you guys just have easy food. I think for what I know Italian to be, it's easy. But obviously you guys have other dishes that require tons of steps and everything. So let me not say it's all easy, but for the Italian food that I actually like and am interested in cooking, it's easy for me. And I appreciate that. And who else? Indian food I have not attempted to make. I have not. And also, I think it's mostly because I'm not going to use those ingredients again. Like cardamom, like all those really rich, you need those ingredients. You got to go to the Indian spot to go get those ingredients. And they are very much necessary to having that authentic flavor and fragrance of Indian food. And I'm just not ready to commit to that. But I love Indian food. So one day, I think, what else would I like to make? I feel like everything I've wanted to make so far, I have tapped in and I've made it and it's been good. Now, I am not a baker. I'm not a baker yet. I can bake. You know what? I'm not even gonna say I can bake. I will just say that I have not had many opportunities to bake because I will eat. I'm not the kind of person who can make a whole cake and save a whole cake like in my crib. Like, people have to be coming to eat the cake or I will be the people eating the cake. So, and because of that, I don't bake often, but one day I might. I have a bunch of things that I want to try. And right now our hype, since we did the tea party in Boston last year, one of the hypes have been this Green Goddess seasoning that we found at Trader Joe's, because I cooked for our Black Girl Tea event and I made, damn, what did I even make, y'all? I made Alfredo. I think I made Alfredo and I made like chicken cutlets or something like that. Chicken Alfredo? I made something and it was yummy and it was interesting because we were cooking and getting ready, and so I feel like I didn't get to really hop into my cook bag as much as I wanted to. I didn't focus on plating, which I normally love to do. So our next event, I'm not gonna say I'm gonna cook yet, because it depends on how many of y'all are gonna be there, because I think I'm good for cooking for like 10 people, maybe 12. 10 to 12 people, right? Because I make big batches anyway. But I think if I have to cook for like more than that, I think we start to lose the recipes. I think it doesn't go as well. So we'll see. But for now, I want to say that I'm very grateful for my culinary beginnings. Sometimes I think I want to go to culinary school too, like, or have a food truck. Sometimes I just want to hop into that bag and really see what my potential is, because I see how much raw talent I have in terms of cooking, and I just feel like I can really do a lot more. So I just want to, like, at some point I might do like a little culinary stuff just to see what else I can tap into. So you never know. You really never know. Sometimes I have dreams of having a food truck, or mostly food truck. I don't know about a restaurant, y'all. That just seems like a lot. And just having some really great food around. Like, of course we have our like fast food and stuff, but like having something that someone made for you, it, like, nothing beats that. And first of all, I should have started with this, that I watched High on the Hog. I don't know if many people have watched that, but High on the Hog, I watched season 2. I watched the first one already. And the first one was great. I loved it so much. But I feel more moved by the second season for some reason. I don't know. I think I'm just also kind of emotional too. But I've been feeling very moved by that one because of... High on the Hog, if you haven't seen or don't know. It is a culinary docuseries on Netflix. And it is based on African American cuisine, but not is African American cuisine, but also connecting it back to Africa, to the larger picture, and just showing how Black Americans specifically have kept a lot of our culinary roots from Africa, like things that we bought over, because hint hint, y'all, we're African, right? We're African. If you are product of chattel slavery like I am, my mother's mother was enslaved, and same with my father's side, they are straight from the South as people. Those roots do connect back. No, we may not have a specific country that we know, because guess what? The white men did not separate us by country. They brought us like cattle. Moving on. But the show just highlights a lot of that. Like, it highlights a lot of Black American food, how we kept a lot of things, how similar our food is, and how we just, even in the face of everything that happened to Black Americans in this country, we still have a piece of home with us to this day. And that just made me so emotional. Like, we just are, oh, I love being black. Like, I just kept saying that throughout the whole, every episode when I saw something new, I was like, dang, I'm still here. Like, it's 2024. And y'all try to, like, dang, all the efforts that these people have done to erase everything we had and to break us up and get rid of us, exterminate us, like, all of that. And I still exist in 2024, like, and I'm still here to cook my ass off, too. Like, shout out. Like, so, yeah, that's it. That was my little rant on High on the Hog. If you haven't seen it, I really do think you should. Especially if you're Black American. If you're not Black American, I think you should see it. If you're African, first of all, if you're African, I really feel like you should see High on the Hog, because there are some of y'all, I'm not going to say all, right? But there are some of y'all who really do think that Black Americans have no culture, which, first of all, we've made our own culture despite what we had to deal with. So imagine they bring you across the ocean, half your homies die on the voyage, you make it here, you meet other people from other places, other countries, and somehow to this day in 2024 you still have descendants. Please, please. We're connected. But I think you should watch it because it just shows you how we're connected. Even if you don't think foundationally we are African, that's fine. But there, you cannot deny that there are connections within the cultures, especially through food. So please watch it. And I don't know what y'all think. Y'all could come back to this, the post that I post for this episode on Instagram or Facebook. Just let me know your thoughts on the thing and tell me your favorite dishes. So that's all. Bye, y'all.